Recently, we've been on a study of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a famous psalm, and maybe some of you have it memorized, maybe some of you don't, but it would be a good psalm to memorize. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We studied the last part of verse 5 in Psalm 23 last week. And it says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And a good human shepherd is always looking out for the needs of his flock. And one of the things he's looking out for is to keep his flock healthy and whole and restored and free of disease. And a lot of times these sheep, they get these nose flies that buzz around and cause them disease. And there's also a thing called a scab, which tries to cause disease in the sheep. And a good shepherd will anoint the heads of the sheep with a certain oil to keep away the flies, to keep away the scab. He wants to keep them whole and healthy. And we are the sheep. In the New Covenant, we are the sheep of whose pasture? We are the sheep of God's pasture. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. So last week we applied it to us this way. You anoint my entire being with the oil of healing. And my cup overflows, God, with your healing in every part of my life. And God wants to bring healing to you physically, friend. I don't know what you're dealing with today, what kind of physical ailment or disease or illness you might be dealing with today. Maybe it's in the life of a loved one. God is both willing and able to heal you. The Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago can heal you today. What does the Word of God say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's in Hebrews 13:8. That means Jesus Christ never changes. Amen. And the Jesus who healed way back then is the Jesus who heals today. And he wants to heal your sick body. You may be dealing with emotional illness today, maybe depression. He wants to heal your emotions. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen? So we can say, God, you anoint my entire being with the oil of healing, and my cup overflows with your healing in every part of my life. All right, today we're going to study the last part of it. It's the final week on Psalm 23, verse 6. Psalm 23, verse 6. And this is what he writes. He says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." One translation says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." And we've been studying Philip Keller, who once had a flock of his own. And he's got these excerpts, he's got these insights on tending sheep. And this is what he says about verse 6. It has been stressed how essential to the welfare of the sheep is the rancher's diligent effort and labor. I'm just kind of summarizing here. All the care, all the work, all the alert watchfulness, all the skill, all the concern, all the self-sacrifice are born of his love. The love of one who loves his sheep, loves his work, loves his role as a shepherd. It is worth reiterating at this point that sheep can, under mismanagement, be the most destructive livestock. They can ruin and ravage land almost beyond remedy. But in bold contrast, sheep can, on the other hand, be the most beneficial of all livestock. Sheep eat all sorts of weeds and other undesirable plants which might otherwise invade a field. In a few years, a flock of well-managed sheep will clean up and restore a piece of ravaged land as no other creature can do. In my own experience as a sheep rancher, I have in just a few years seen two derelict ranches restored to high productivity and usefulness. More than this, what before appeared as depressing eyesores became beautiful park-like properties of immense worth. In other words, goodness and mercy had followed my flocks. They left behind them something worthwhile, productive, beautiful, and beneficial to both themselves, others, and me. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that we are the sheep of whose pasture? God. We are the sheep of God's pasture. Jesus Christ, let me say it again, is the good shepherd. Goodness and mercy should follow us all the days of our lives. You know, goodness and mercy can follow you as you go to the ravaged field of souls, to the devastated fields of people in greater need than yourself. Let me say it again. Goodness and mercy can follow you as you go to the ruined field of people. And you can bring restoration, you can bring goodness, you can bring God's love, and you can bring mercy to those people. For the next few minutes, I want to talk about stepping out beyond yourself. Stepping out beyond yourself. I'm here to tell you today, friend, that you were not made just to exist. You were not made just to take up room on this earth. Say it with me today. I wasn't made just to take up space. In Jesus' name. Friend, I'm here to tell you that you were made for a divine purpose. You know, we weren't made just to sit in this Christian walk and expect to receive blessings from God. We weren't made just to sit and hope that blessings would drop out of the sky from God to us. Yes, God does want to bless you, but He has created us, He has blessed us to be a blessing to others as well. Amen? God wants to bless you, but He also wants you to be a blessing to others in greater need than yourself. Now, a toddler, a two-year-old. Think about a toddler, a two-year-old. Anybody ever have any experiences with a two-year-old, a toddler? A toddler is the center of its own world, right? It's about me, myself, and I. And I've seen those two-year-olds. They call them the terrible twos, where when they want something and they can't get it, what do? They kick. They stomp their feet. They cry. They jump up and down. Why? Because a toddler is only thinking about himself. Making sense? But an adult does what? A mature adult, a responsible adult who's working, making money. He does what? He gives back into society. How? He pays his taxes. She pays her taxes. And it's so sad that people have been some people have been Christians so many years, but spiritually, they're still toddlers. And you may have been a Christian for 5 or 10 or 15 years, but today you still may be a spiritual toddler. Friends, I'm here to say it is about time to grow up, and God wants us to mature into spiritual adulthood. Let me say it again. God is wanting us to mature into spiritual adulthood. The Christian walk is not about me, myself, and I. Yes, God wants to bless you, but He wants to bless you with the purpose of you being a blessing to somebody else. Amen? Amen? That makes sense today? And you might be thinking today, Jonathan, you don't understand my life. I'm in such great need myself. How can I bless somebody else when I'm in such need myself? This kind of was the predicament of the widow of Zarephath. 1 Kings 17. You can turn there if you have a Bible, 1 Kings 17. If not, I'll read it to you. The widow of Zarephath. The great prophet Elijah was drinking from the Kereth ravine. And God so divinely ordered in verse 6 of 1 Kings 17 that the birds brought him food in the morning and in the evening. And he drank from the brook. So God was providing for the needs of Elijah. Now let's jump to verse 7 in 1 Kings 17. And it says, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, verse 10. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid, go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son.
For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. We have two different individuals in this account. We got the prophet Elijah, who had nothing physically, nothing materially. And then we have whom? The widow woman from Zarephath. She was at her wit's end. She was about to give up on life. I'm making a meal for myself and my son, and then we're going to die. She was despairing in life. She was giving up. She had lost hope. She felt as good as dead. And you might feel like the widow woman today, that you're at your wit's end. You feel like giving up on life. You feel like, how can I reach out beyond myself? I'm in such great need. But there was somebody in this account in greater need than the widow woman. In greater need physically, materially. And who was that? Elijah. See, Elijah had nothing materially. The woman had a little something materially. What did she have? She had oil and flour. So she stepped out beyond herself and sowed it into the life of Elijah. And God did a tremendous miracle in her life. There was food every day for the woman, her family, and Elijah. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that God is no respecter of persons. If He worked a miracle in the life of the widow of Zarephath, He can do it for you, because God never changes. He is always the same. See, she found somebody in greater need than herself. Yes, she was at her wit's end. She didn't know how she could step out beyond herself, but still, by faith, she took that step and sowed into the life of Elijah. She blessed him with a meal. And friend, you may feel like the widow woman, that you're at your wit's end. But by faith, step out of yourself and help somebody who is in greater need than yourself, and God will work miracles in your life. Amen? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the sheep and the goats. The parable of the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25, verse 31. Powerful, powerful account here. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put His sheep on the right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." The sheep. Verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Verse 37, the sheep, the righteous, will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" Verse 40, the key verse. The King will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. And who is Jesus speaking to here? He's speaking to the sheep. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that when you touch somebody in greater need than yourself, when you touch somebody who is hurting, when you reach out to the ruined field of souls, you're touching Jesus Himself. When you do it for somebody else, guess what? You're doing it for Jesus. Now, if Jesus were to appear in this room today, in flesh and in bone, God the Son, the perfect one, we would stand at attention. Correct? Jesus, can I give you something to drink? Jesus, would you like something to eat? And Jesus might say, stand up, and stand up, and you would stand up, and he would say, jump, and you would say, how high, Jesus, do you want me to jump? He is with us in spirit today. And guess what? When you meet somebody in need on the streets of downtown Tulsa, when you meet somebody in need in another city, when you meet somebody in greater need than yourself in another state, if you happen to be in another country and somebody is hurting, guess what? That person is Jesus in disguise. And when you step out beyond yourself to touch that person with the love of God, you are touching the heart of Jesus himself. We are the sheep, the ones on the right, correct? Matthew 25. Verses 31 through 40. As sheep of his pasture, we are well-managed sheep. Why? Because God loves us. He gave us his very best gift 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, who did an awesome work on the cross. And by faith in Jesus, we are saved from hell. God loves us. He manages us well. We are well-managed sheep. As well-managed sheep, as loved sheep, we need to reach out beyond ourselves to somebody who is hurting. We need to bring goodness and mercy into the field of devastated lives. Is that making sense today? Friends, the Christian walk is not about ourselves. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about reaching out to others. I know you're in need, but you still can reach out, just like the widow of Zarephath. So how do we bring goodness and mercy into the field of hurting lives, of hurting people? How do we bring goodness and mercy? How does goodness and mercy follow us into the field of hurting people? How does that happen? By sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. How? First, by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, indeed, in action. I received this email some time back. It's called I Saw Jesus. You might have heard it before, but it bears repeating. I saw Jesus last week. He was wearing blue jeans and an old shirt. He was up at the church building. He was alone and working hard. For just a minute, he looked like one of our members, but it was Jesus. I could tell by his smile. I saw Jesus last Sunday. He was teaching a Bible class. He didn't talk real loud or use long words, but you could tell he believed what he said. For just a minute, he looked like my Bible teacher. But it was Jesus. I could tell by his loving voice. I saw Jesus yesterday. He was at the hospital visiting a friend who was sick. They prayed together quietly. For just a minute, he looked like Mrs. Jones. But it was Jesus. I could tell by the tears in her eyes. I saw Jesus this morning. He was in my kitchen making my breakfast and fixing me a special lunch. For just a minute, he looked like my mom. But it was Jesus. I could feel the love from his heart. I see Jesus everywhere, taking food to the sick, welcoming others to his home, being friends to a newcomer, and for just a minute, I think he is someone I know. But it's always Jesus. I can tell by the way he serves. Go be Jesus to someone today. Someone is looking for you. Written by Summer, age 11. That's awesome, isn't it? That's being Jesus, what? In action. That's being the hands of Jesus to somebody in need. And friend, you can be the hands of Jesus to somebody who is hurting today. How many have heard it said that actions speak louder than words? Actions speak louder than words. You can communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ through your actions. And you might be wondering today, well, how? How can I communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ? Through my actions, by being affectionate, spending time with the lonely. There's a lot of lonely people out there, friends. People out there that have nobody to talk to. You can spend an hour talking to somebody who needs a friend. Somebody who needs to be touched. If you want to be the hands of Jesus, hug that person who needs to be touched. Maybe helping change a flat tire for the helpless widow stranded on the side of the road. Buying lunch for a starving person. Friend, this is the gospel in action. This is being the hands of Jesus, visiting someone in the hospital or at a nursing home. Be sensitive this week to how God is wanting you to reach out and be the hands of Jesus to someone in need. So we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our actions, right? But we can also share it with our what? With our words. In other words, you can be the mouth of Jesus to someone who is lost right now. You know, by being good, by being merciful to somebody in need, that can open the door for you verbally sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do an outreach at one of the shelters here in downtown Tulsa on the third Sunday of every month. And what we do before we share the gospel is we serve all the people food. We bring in a nice meal. We serve them food and something to drink. And so they're well fed. And after they're well fed, the ones that want to come go into the chapel room. And in the chapel room, we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. It makes them more receptive to the gospel verbally if we feed them first, if we show the love of Jesus Christ in action. You know, there are times where God will lead you just to share a few words without any actions. Last November, I was working on someone's house here in South Tulsa at 81st and Yale. And the young man, the son of the house, was talking to me, and he said, "Jonathan, I think I remember you." He said, "A couple of years back," he said, "you were in my neighborhood, and I think it was you with the green pickup truck," he said. And he said, "You just handed me a tract, a gospel tract." And I spoke to him today. His name is Corey, just to confirm it. And he said to me, he said, "Man, you just shared a few words that changed my life. You said, Jesus loves you." And as I was talking to him today, he said, "Yeah, it was like you just shared those words. You weren't trying to preach to me. You weren't trying to be long-winded. You just got your point across. You had no agenda." And that's all I did was, "Jesus loves you." And he said it was the catalyst that began a good change in his life. And today he is following Jesus. And that's sharing the gospel with your words verbally. Just saying to somebody, "You know what? God loves you. Jesus loves you. I believe in you." Encouraging somebody with your words can change a life. Friends, goodness and mercy need to follow us into the field of devastated lives. Amen? You know, and you can build people up by giving them encouraging words. Just encouraging words. "You're worth so much to God. You are a diamond to Jesus." Just building up somebody's self-worth by speaking positive words into their life. You know, "You are the apple of God's eye. I believe in you, and so does God. Jesus loves you so very much. He gave his life for you 2,000 years ago so that you could be saved from hell." That's sharing the gospel what? With your words. That's being the what of Jesus. That's being the mouth of Jesus. So we can be the hands and the mouth of Jesus. And it says in Psalm 23, "Goodness and mercy will follow me" when? Just some of the days of my life? That's it. "Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." So in other words, every single day of your life, you need to be sensitive to God speaking to you, saying, "Reach out to this person. Reach out to that person. You know, help this person with that issue. You know, help this person with their bus fare. Buy this person a meal. Help that person change their flat tire." Be sensitive all the days of your life to step out beyond yourself and bring goodness and mercy into the field of ruined lives. Remember, there is somebody out there, friend, who is in greater need than yourself. You've got an awesome shelter over your head, right? There is somebody out there tonight that is going to sleep under a bridge, that is going to sleep on a street corner, but thank God you've got a roof over your head. Amen? Amen. There is somebody out there in downtown Tulsa right now who is starving, doesn't have a penny to their name. But guess what? At 6 o'clock tonight, 6:30 tonight, you've got an awesome meal prepared for you here at John 3:16. So remember, there is somebody out there who needs the love of God through you. Plain and simple. And then it says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What does this mean? What is the house of the Lord for New Testament sheep? in the new covenant. I believe what it means is heaven. And one day I will dwell in heaven with God forever. You know, when I enter heaven one day, I want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." I want to hear that. How about you? I want to dwell in the house of God forever. I want to dwell eternally in heaven with God one day. How about you, friends? You? So let's start stepping out beyond ourselves like the widow of Zarephath to touch somebody who is hurting today. Amen? Kevin's got a word real quick.
Back in 92, when I was going to seminary school, I worked in a behavioral hospital. And there were many people with different types of brain injury. I remember one man who was in an explosion. He had scars all over his body. And he was basically in a comatose state, coming in and out. Now, he never knew who I was. Now, my responsibilities were like this. I fed him. I clothed him. I cleaned him. I bathed him. So on and so forth. When he was thirsty, I gave him water. When he was naked, I clothed him. When he was dirty, I bathed him. When he needed to use the bathroom, I picked him up and put him there. And every time I touched him, he would reach out and kick me or hit me or spit at me. Because the scars on his body were so painful, he would just react to it naturally. It wasn't because he was aware of me being there. I did this for an entire year. And then one day, when I wasn't there, and I also would read the word to him. And one day when I was there, he woke up, they put him in a chair, and he was gone. And he never knew who I was. You can impact someone's world. You can be a blessing to someone. But that doesn't mean they're going to know that you're there. Or they're going to be aware of you to be a blessing to someone. Jesus has walked with you all your life, has blessed you, carried you, lifted you up, but you never knew he was there. You understand? Amen.
Amen. Say it with me today. I want to bring goodness and mercy into the life of a hurting person every single day for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.